And Zephaniah, if you found it, that's over there in the Minor Prophets. I think it's Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi, isn't it? So if you go to Matthew and go backwards a little bit, you'll find it in just a minute. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 5. This is what the Bible said. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. How many's glad he's in the midst? You say, Pastor, how do you know he's in the midst? He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. Pray with me a moment. Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege to come in your presence. And God, I pray today for clarity of thought and clarity of mind. God, that you touch my voice. My throat's been scratchy, Lord, yesterday evening and all this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us, Lord, that we would be able to deliver that you put in our heart. God, I thank you this morning for our visitors, for our home folk. But Lord, our prayer this morning is that you would visit with us. And God, that you would help us. Because Lord, we realize we're a needy people. God, we need you this morning. And I pray, Father, that you'll have your way in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I began to look at a phrase last week. And I don't know, is this on, brother? I think it is. Let's see here. This is where it came from. This is something that Miss Eve, right after the first of the year, she put on the wall in our kitchen. And really, we're going to be closing out with this verse, and a series of verses. But do you see down there, it's of the Lord's mercies were not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And then it says they are new every morning. That's what I looked at last week. And I'm telling you, the more I looked at it, the more I chewed on it, the bigger it got every morning. In the Hebrew, I'll go ahead and type that down. But in the Hebrew, in Zephaniah chapter 3 here, the phrase is not every morning in the Hebrew. It's morning by morning. Morning by morning. Just morning on top of morning on top of morning, day after day. It's brought into the English language every morning, which basically means the same thing. But I wanted to call the message today, morning by morning. It puts it as a progression, as a progressive thought in our hearts and in our lives. I'm going to give you just four simple things this morning. And I usually don't ask you to write things down, but I'm going to ask you to write these four things down. And you'll see them as we go through. Not all the scripture and all that. You can make a note of the reference in the scripture. But I want to ask you this morning, what's your morning routine like? I want you to know this morning that I'm preaching to myself. There have been mornings when I got up and I had so much to do that I just rushed out into the day because I had so much that I needed to do. Maybe it was people to visit. Maybe it was grass to mow. Right now, I look this morning, my house needs to be washed terribly. And I just mean I haven't washed it in a couple of years. I used to wash my house in about 3 hours all the way around. I can't do that anymore. It takes longer now. How many understands when you get older, it takes longer? Amen? And so I'm always seeing things that need to be done. I got some other things I need to address around the house. But God dealt with my heart. And when God dealt with my heart, I'm determined to make some changes, amen. I'm determined not to do that again, not to make that mistake again, to run out and into the day. And I'm going to give you four things. The first statement that I'm going to make is morning by morning, our Lord desires to meet with us. Now listen to me, I've got scripture for all this, but if you just write that down, morning by morning, our Lord desires to meet with us. I'm glad I can tell you this morning before my feet ever hit the floor because of what God has done in my heart. I had a meeting with my Savior. Amen. Amen. Before my feet ever hit the floor. And here's where the thought comes from. In Exodus chapter number 30, you don't have to turn there, but I want to read a few verses. It says, "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, a cubit the breadth thereof. 4 score shall it be. 2 cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold." I want you to listen to the gold that's in this text right here. And by the way, let me stop and say, well, Pastor, you're in the book of Exodus. That's Old Testament. That's back there with Moses and them people. Let me give you something that God said. He wrote this old Bible for our ensample. He's teaching us something. He didn't say go to Matthew and forget about Genesis through Malachi. The Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And they overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, the sides thereof round about, the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And 2 golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the corners thereof, upon the 2 sides thereof, it shalt thou make it. And they shall be for the places of the staves to bear it withal. They were going to carry it, just like they did the Ark of the Covenant. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, listen, and overlay them with gold. Now watch this. And thou shalt put it before the veil, that is by the Ark of the Testimony, before the mercy seat, that is over the testimony, listen to these words, where I will meet with thee. What God is telling us here, let's look at the next verse. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps, and he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it. A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. He said, you shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour the drink offering thereon. God is telling us here that morning by morning, there is a desire in his heart to meet with you and I. Listen, it's important. I believe when the Bible talks about pure gold, crown of gold, gold, the mercy seat, I believe what God is telling us in this text, Brother Chris, I want y'all to wake up and I want you to understand what's really valuable in life. What's really valuable, where the gold is, beloved, is not down at the bank and not down at Fort Knox. For the child of God, the gold is in that meeting place with the Lord. And the Bible is talking about here, when it's talking about, beloved, that incense, it's talking about a life of prayer. You're going to meet the Lord in prayer. The Word of God in the New Testament said, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Notice these three little words, in the Spirit. There is no prayer in the life of the believer outside of the Spirit of God. And God wants us to understand, beloved, listen, he's warning us in here. Don't bring that strange incense, amen. In other words, don't you be trying to come in there when your heart's not clean and there's something going on in your life. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But I'm telling you, listen, the first point in this message is simply this. Our God desires to meet with us. If there was somebody in America, for you sports fans, maybe there was somebody that you've just really, you've thought highly of, a football player, a basketball player, a baseball player, and you got a letter from him. And he said, I want to meet you at such and such a time, at such and such a restaurant. I just want to meet you. I've heard that you are a fan of ours. You can say whatever you want to, beloved, but you, come hell or high water, you'd make that meeting. Say amen. Amen. And listen, our priorities, there's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that wants to meet. I don't know about you, but it blows my mind, Brother Jack, that he wants to meet with the likes of me. Amen. And the Word of God said every morning, morning by morning, he wants to meet with me. So when I get up in the morning, I'm going to have to ask myself this question. What is it today that's more important than my meeting with Him? What is it today that is more important? Can somebody answer that for me? Nothing. Nothing. Not one thing is more important than our meeting with Him. Morning by morning. It's a picture of prayer. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said. He said, the moment you wake up, golly, this spoke to my heart. He said, the moment you wake up each morning, all of your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists of shoving it all back and listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other, larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. I don't know about you, but there's times, I'm exaggerating with this figure, but this is the way I feel. There's times when I wake up, I feel like I've got 10,000 things that I need to accomplish that day. Brother Junior, you're nodding your head in agreement with me. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's not one thing more important that I need to accomplish than to know that my feet are hitting the ground with Him. I'm going in the direction He wants me to go. I'm accomplishing what He wants me to accomplish. I'm being led by the Good Shepherd.
Amen.
Morning by morning, our Lord desires to meet with us. If you study your Bible in the New Testament, Jesus, many times, the Word of God would use a phrase like this. A great while before day, He would go into a mountain. He knew, Brother Chris, that the crowds were coming, the throngs were coming. He knew that there was people that needed to be healed. He knew there were people that were hungry. He knew that there were people that needed to be saved and delivered from demons and all of that. But listen, he knew that He couldn't do it without the Father's help. Bunyan, John Bunyan said this, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find Him the rest of the day.
Amen.
Let me say that again. He who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find Him the rest of the day. Underneath that statement, I wrote these words. Ask me how I know this is true. Ask me how I know. I think sometimes people put a pastor or a preacher on a pedestal and you think, boy, he's got it all together. I'm going to tell you this. Listen to me carefully. When you examine your morning routine, if it doesn't include prayer, and I'm fixing to move into something else, not the second point, but the second part of the first point. If it doesn't include these two things, beloved, then we're not meeting with God. We're not taking care of the main thing. The second thing here under this first point, morning by morning, our Lord desires to meet with us. Not only was there the incense morning by morning, but listen to what Leviticus 6:12 said. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it. Every morning, morning by morning. I just want to say a couple of things. Martin Luther said this. He said, if I should neglect prayer but a single day, I should lose a great deal of the fire of faith. I remember years ago, I don't remember how the message went exactly, but I remember the title. Someone has reminded me of it from time to time. It was called Keep the Fire Burning. Can I tell you why the fire goes out in the heart? And when it goes out in the heart, then it goes out in the home. And when it goes out in the home, then it goes out in the church. And when it goes out in the church, then it goes out in the country. Can I tell you why? It's because morning by morning, we don't understand and see the importance of getting on our knees, amen, and meeting with God and getting in His Word. You say, Pastor, you said fire. What's that got to do with the Word? Jeremiah 23:29 said, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Oh, I'm telling you, beloved, there's times when my old heart gets so hard and so calloused, but I've got a book that I can open, and God drops the hammer in my soul, amen, and breaks up that fallow ground and breaks up that hardened heart, and I get to fellowship with Him once again, and there's nothing like it in the whole world. Morning by morning, He shall take the censer of the burning coals of fire from off the altar from before the Lord, and His hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. You say, "Pastor, what's that got to do with anything?" That was the instruction. It's pretty evident to me, Brother Chris, that Nadab and Abihu, they did not follow the instructions. They came one morning with what the Bible calls strange fire, and God killed them. I said, God killed them. That's what the Word of God said. I looked this up about the strange fire, and it means unauthorized, foreign, or profane. We're not talking about just an emotion or an emotional experience, amen. We're not talking about, beloved, something that's just to stir your sensation, amen. We're not talking about strange fire. We're talking about the fire that comes from the altar of God when He looks, beloved, at a believer that says, "Hey, I'm going to pray because I can't do this day without you. Hey, I'm going to look into the Word of God because I need instruction from you. I want to keep the fire burning." So you have incense, which is speaking of prayer. You have fire upon the altar, which is speaking of the Word of God. Morning by morning, our Lord desires to meet with us. You say, "Well, Pastor, you mean He would meet with me?" I'm afraid He wants to meet with us more than we want to meet with Him. Amen. Let me stop and say this. Brother Chris, somewhere, and I think in the prayer room or maybe when you were praying, you asked God that we might be prepared for next Sunday. If God gives us another week, that we might be prepared, that we might be able to be in a shape where God could bless us and God could pour out revival in our heart and in our life. And I'm going to tell you something right now that I believe. Some will listen to this message this morning and they'll go right out those doors and they'll forget all about it. Their morning will look just like it's always looked before. But I'll tell you, if there'll be some, say, "I'm with Pastor. I'm sick of it. I'm not starting into my day without Him. I'm going to take a few minutes and talk to Him. I'm going to take a few minutes and open His book and let Him talk to me." What a blessing. What a blessing. I believe God could prepare our hearts for what He wants to do in our church. Number two, not only morning by morning does our Lord desire to meet with us, but number two, morning by morning, our Lord desires to provide for us. You say, "Pastor, I don't know why you would bring that into the message." You know where the problem comes from? Is when we get up in the morning and we think we don't need anything. The Bible talks about this. It said, and they gathered it. This is talking about the manna that God rained down, that angel food. The Bible said they gathered it every morning. Morning by morning. I'm telling you, beloved, they went through the wilderness for 40 years and their clothes never got old. They went through the wilderness for 40 years and they never went without water. God had water to come out of a rock. They never went without food. God fed them with manna from heaven. And you say, Pastor, that's them. Can I remind you of something? My God is no respecter of persons. And that if He would provide for the children of Israel in the wilderness, He will provide for us today.
Amen.
But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Morning by morning, our Lord desires to provide for us. I've read stories of missionaries in China and other places where they didn't even know where the next meal was going to come from. It gets closer to home than that even with me. I can remember my grandfather telling a story about my grandmother. My grandfather was not a beef eater at all. He didn't care how you fixed it. He didn't care if it's steak, hamburger. He just did not like beef. Maybe it was because he worked on a dairy farm. He just liked to shoot them all, amen, instead of eat them all. Some of them will kick you and all that stuff, amen. They'll be mean to you, them cows will sometime. But my grandfather but he loved pork. I said, he didn't like it. He loved it. And he told my granny one morning, or my granny told him, he said, John, he said, that's all the meat. She fixed that, what they had left with breakfast that morning, said, that's all the meat. And my grandfather said he went out and there was two guys that had given him a car with insurance on it. He had been walking to meetings. He had been taking his shoes off and fording the river, drying his feet off on the other side, putting his socks and shoes back on and walking to go preach. God provided a car. But he said, I went down there to get in that car. He said, laying right there in the seat was a great old big country ham. If you like pork, how can you beat it? A country ham. I'm talking about a God that morning by morning. You know where our problems come from? We think we put them groceries in the cabinet. Let me tell you something right now, honey. You didn't put nothing in the cabinet. It's my God in heaven that gave you the hands to work and the mind to work. Amen. It's my God in heaven that gave you the ability to work. You didn't put that roof over your head. I'm telling you, the happy life is knowing that my God put this roof over my head. My God give me a place to lay down. My God's a feeding me. My God's a helping me every day of my life. He provides morning by morning.
Amen.
How many believe sometimes we get too big for our britches and we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think? Do you know who God draws nigh to? He don't draw nigh to a proud person. He draws nigh to a humble person. Years ago, I heard a song. I haven't heard it in years now. But the song said, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I got Bible for this. You can't even breathe without Him giving you the breath. In Him we move and breathe and have our being. That's not to the unknown God. I know Him. His name is wonderful. Number three, have you got those two statements? Morning by morning, our Lord desires to meet with us. Number two, morning by morning, our Lord desires to provide for us. Number three, morning by morning, our Lord. Now listen to me. In my notes, I wrote this word or typed it. Our Lord desires praise from us. But as I was looking over the message this morning, I wrote a word. It's not desires. He deserves. He deserves praise from you and from me. Let me give you what the Bible said here. Let me give you the verse of Scripture, how God dealt with my heart. The Word of God said in 1 Chronicles, I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but the 1 Chronicles 23:30, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. My wife came up the other day. She's been cleaning the basement out. And she said, "Honey, I've got all of these, all kinds of coffee mugs." And she said, "We've got all the mugs that we could possibly use." I said, "Well, let's take them to the Salvation Army and give them to them." Did you know there might be somebody in Kingsport that ain't got a coffee mug? I wonder how many cups of coffee this preacher has drunk and didn't thank God for the coffee, let alone the mug. Coffee's hard to handle without a mug. I don't believe I'd want to pour it in my hand. Reminds me of my son. When he got to praying in his own words, he said, "Lord, we thank you for our food." And he said, "Lord, I want to thank you for my plate. And I want to thank you for my fork. And I want to thank you for my spoon." And his sister started laughing while he's praying. I said when he was over, I started crying, Brother Rick. Because at that time, I was over 30 years old. And all of my life, I'd never thanked God for a plate or a fork or a spoon. You say, "Pastor, this is just getting out of bounds." Let me tell you something right now. When you get to thanking God for the little things, it'll change your life. Amen. When you get to thanking God that you can see and that you can hear, and you thank God for your spouse, and you thank God for your children, and you thank God for your grandchildren, and you thank God for America, amen, and you thank God for your church, and you thank God for your Bible, and you thank God that the throne of grace is wide open, we can come and talk to Him. I said, "Amanda, what are you laughing at, honey?" She said, "You know, Daddy, Jeremy thanking God for a fork and a spoon and a plate." I said, "Well, honey, let me ask you something." She said, "What's that?" They were young. I said, "What if Mom brought your potatoes in here, your mashed potatoes, just throwed them down on the table, poured gravy on them, and you had to eat them with your fingers?" You know what she said? "Oh, yuck, Daddy." You know what I say? Might not be a bad idea. Thank God for a plate and a fork and a spoon. I'm telling you, we take so much for granted. Amen. How many's got a friend in this world? I'm not talking about Jesus now. I'm talking about in this world. How many's got a friend? How many's got somebody? Brother Jason, you got somebody you believe you could call on. Amen. If you needed them. Amen. And I do too. I got more than one or two. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. When's the last time you thank God for your friends? We just take so much for granted. The third thing in the message, morning by morning, our Lord deserves praise from us. Now let me give you this. I'm trying to get on with the message here. I want you to listen to these verses. Ezekiel 46, I want to make a point here. Ezekiel 46, 13, I'm going to read 13, 14, 15. "Thou shalt daily prepare a burnt offering unto the Lord of a lamb of the first year without blemish. And thou shalt prepare it every morning." This is Old Testament, morning by morning. Ezekiel 46, 14. "And thou shalt prepare a meat offering for it every morning, the sixth part of an ephah." Verse 15. "Thus shall they prepare the lamb and the meat offering and the oil every morning for a continual burnt offering." Now here's where I'm going to go with this. I want you to think about this for just a minute. Brother Shannon, aren't you glad we don't have to get up and hunt a lamb every morning? Aren't you glad we don't have to hunt a turtle dove? Aren't you glad we don't have to go down to the temple? I want to give you something, beloved, to blow your mind. If you're a believer, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We don't have to do what they did in the Old Testament. Why? Because the Lamb of God came along. And He didn't put off our sin. Glory to God, He put it away. Amen. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." He put it in the bottom of the sea. He put it behind His back. But He took it away. And it don't matter where He took it. It's just away. Amen. And it ain't coming back. That's the God that I serve. If they were told in Chronicles every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening, don't you think we ought to do the same on this side of Calvary, on this side of the cross? Number four. How many of you got those four things written down? Or three. You can't write down four until I give you the four. Let me see your hands. We got those three things written down morning by morning. I'd like for you to write down this fourth thing. Morning by morning, our Lord extends His mercy to us. Listen to these verses. Lamentations 3, verse 20. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Listen to verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. What's that mean, Pastor? I'll tell you what it means. It means when I'm not faithful, He still is. It means when I blow it. Maybe you're here this morning and you blew it yesterday. Maybe you already blew it this morning. But you know what God said? He said, I've got something for you every morning that's brand new. It's mercy. It's mercy. You don't have to continue. God has mercy. The Bible said here, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, because His mercy is new every morning. I want you to see the effect that this should have on our lives, knowing that His mercy, it should cause us to be humble. The Word of God said, I have this still in remembrance. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Not only should it cause us to be humble, but it should cause us to have hope. In verse number 21, therefore have I hope. Verse number 24, therefore will I hope in Him. In verse number 26, that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the Lord. I'm going to ask a personal question. Is there anybody in this room that's ever blown it so bad that you wondered if there was any hope of getting back to that place of blessing? Reed come along and said, hey, I heard mercy yesterday morning and you ignored it, but I got mercy this morning. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. I'm glad here in the book of Lamentations that God is teaching us that morning by morning, our Lord extends His mercy. Did you know that just because He extends His mercy, don't mean we receive it? God offers His mercy. You say, Pastor, what would I have to do to receive His mercy? Well, first of all, you'd have to know that you need it. See, if you're running around and everybody else is making mistakes, but I never make one, I like to stop on statements like that and say, gag a maggot off a gut wagon, amen. It makes God sick. The Bible said, if you say that without sin, you deceive yourself. And the truth is not in you. I've said for years, I believe the person that's walking the closest to God don't know it. Because the closer you get to Him, the more you see is wrong in your own life. And I'm going to tell you this, if a person's walking close to God, they sure ain't tooting their own horn. They're wanting everybody to look to Jesus. They're wanting everybody to know about His mercy. Psalm 42 said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Have you failed? Get up. Get up. When a football team loses a game, they don't give up, they get up. And they go back to practicing And get ready for the next game. I'm afraid sometimes, beloved, the devil jumps up on our shoulder and says, why don't you just quit? You ain't no count no way. Well, wouldn't it be good if we just learned this? Just agree with him. Say, you're right, devil, but he is. He's the one that's worthy of all honor, praise, and glory. Morning by morning, our Lord extends his mercy. Back to our text, the just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning, morning by morning, doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not. He didn't say we don't fail. Even Moses failed. Even David failed. Even Peter, the man that God used on the day of Pentecost, even Peter failed. One thing I love about the Bible, it teaches me that failure does not need to be final. There is a God in heaven that has mercy. Are you cast down? Are you in need of mercy? Is the fire burning at your house? What about in your heart? Does the Lord smell the sweet incense in your life? Are you thanking and praising God morning by morning? Turn with me to Psalm 30 and I'm finished with this. In all of my years, sometimes God makes me feel about that tall, maybe not even that tall. In all my years, I've heard this verse quoted and I've quoted this verse. And I was only looking at it one way. For the sake of time, I'd love for you to read the whole chapter when you get home. But let's start in verse 1, read through verse 5. David said, I will extol thee. That means I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to praise you, O Lord. For thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. I love that scripture which said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard me, delivered me out of all of my trouble. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Look at verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. I'm not sure, Brother Chris, if I've ever read this in its context. I've always thought about this verse of Scripture right here. That, you know, we go through trials and we go through troubles. Maybe we lose a loved one. And then joy cometh in the morning. But look what he said here. It said here in verse number 5, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Amen.
Do you know there could be somebody today that walked through those doors back there, and it's been so long since you've experienced the presence of the Lord. You've experienced his joy, unspeakable. And full of glory. Did you know God wants to meet with you this morning? He wants to meet with you every morning, morning by morning. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. I don't have to. I know there's enough mercy to go around. There's enough grace to go around.
Yes. Amen.
And that joy can come in the morning.
Amen.
You may have walked through those doors back there and you say, Pastor, if I left this world today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. Let me teach you very quickly just four simple things. It's not complicated. God wants us all to know that we've all sinned. It's not a preacher pointing his finger at you, but it's a holy God in heaven pointing his finger at the whole human race. And he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm glad I could agree with that. I know that's true. The second thing is we owe a penalty for our sin. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. I'm glad it doesn't stop there. The wages for sin is death. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. A second death, separated from God forever and ever. But here's the best news you'll ever hear in your life. We're all sinners and we all owe a sin debt. But Jesus Christ went to a cross at a place called Mount Calvary and gave His life for you and for me. I can't wait till the service tonight. I'm going to be over there in Genesis chapter 22, and I'm just thrilled about it. Amen. I've only been able to see what God provided in one aspect, but I'm telling you, the chapter's full of what God provided. But thank God He provided a lamb. Jesus took my place and He took your place. And the fourth thing is, we have to come to a place where we realize, God, You're right, I am a sinner. God, You're right, Your Son is my only hope. He's the Savior. And Lord, I'm coming to You. I love what the songwriter said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. If we couldn't get to a place in our life where we understand that we're lost and in need of a Savior, we're in a good place to see Him, a good place to experience His mercy, a good place to trust Him as our Savior. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank You so much for coming this morning. I really appreciate You being here. I wonder if there's someone today and you'd say, Pastor, I know I've been saved. I know I've been born again. But Pastor, this morning by morning, God has spoke to my heart. I run out into life such a hurry. He knows it and I know it. I want that to change in my life. Pray for me. Would you slip up your hand this morning? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Ricky. Amen. I love you, buddy. Amen. Anybody else this morning?